Well, August marks 5 months without gyms, and that means 5 months without work for the fitness industry. For some, it means 5 months without the mental sanity that gyms offer. Whether you work in the industry or if you're a fitness fan, the industry employs about 29,000 people in South Africa at approximately 1,096 gyms across the country, and it's expected that up to 80% of gyms are likely to shut down permanently, with massive job losses should gyms continue to remain closed for much longer. We've seen fitness group Virgin Active already announcing that they've had to temporarily furlough some of their more than 3,000 staff. Planet Fitness say that they too have been forced to consider retrenchments. And today from 12 till 2, gym employees and fitness enthusiasts will participate in peaceful demonstrations to protest against gym closures. And the protest will be headed by FitSA, which is the Association of Health and Fitness Clubs in the country. And I watched a great panel on the Nielsen Network in early July. And as we start August, it's a real pleasure to invite some of those panelists onto the COVID-19 Business Watch show to talk about health and fitness and COVID-19, with Giselle Wertheim-Ames, who's founder of World of Longevity, Nikki Cockcroft, the Global Chief Marketing and Technology Officer for Virgin Active, Boris Leck, who's the founder and managing director of Bodytech South Africa, Emma Heap, the director of UK-based Sudafit, and Jenny Rivett, international fitness and wellness consultant who once trained the late Princess Di. Giselle, kick us off. As someone who has observed and written about the industry for as long as you have, what has struck you about this current crisis and the way it's impacting on gyms and trainers alike?
I think we're sitting in this very ironic situation, actually, Michael, because we know that fitness is so important to good health. I mean, when you look at good health and longevity, we often say exercise is medicine. So there's this irony of the situation we're in, because we actually need people to be exercising. We totally appreciate, and I think everyone is sensitive to the fact that COVID-19 is a wild virus. It has very serious ramifications. There are people dying. And we've been in a state, as you say, this is over 5 months now. In the beginning, we had no ability to exercise unless we were indoors, and we all got zoomed out, and we were doing fitness videos, and then we were allowed to slowly go outside under restriction. But now, so many months later, we are still not able to visit a gym, get the kind of exercise, get the instruction we need, which is really important. And I think that gyms play a role, a very critical role in people's fitness programs every day. They provide discipline, they provide expert instruction. Not everyone is able to be able to work out on their own. It also is a social aspect to it. And yes, I understand with COVID, the social aspect is very concerning. But the reality is that we've seen globally in other countries now that they have been able to go back to gyms, because in fact, gyms are very much able, like businesses, they run like businesses, they're able to implement safety measures that are, I believe, probably above the norm of what we would even expect out of normal retail environments. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I mean, I am going in and out of, not a lot, but we all have to shop for food. And as much as we're wearing masks and as much as we are getting sanitized, the reality is we don't really know the extent to which we are actually exposed to COVID-19 in retail environments yet. We can try and close, we can do things, but we can't go into a gym where I believe there, there could be a greater level of control. So I have a lot of empathy for this industry. I believe that people should be able to visit their local gym. They should have the right to be able to do that. They should have the right to be able to have instruction, to be able to get their fitness back on track. Because if we're not fit and strong and healthy, we're not going to be able to build immunity against this virus, which we know is not a one-hit wonder. It is going to be in our society for some time to come.
And the mental health issues that you touch on as well, extremely important at a time when many of us are experiencing burnout just from the weight of the various Zoom meetings, working at home, the uncertainty around the future. So mental health and physical health very closely aligned there. Nikki Cockcroft, I want to bring you in on this point around the impact and the capacity also of gyms to do contact tracing, to be environments where you do all of the hygiene and the sanitization. as second nature. We're certainly not seeing the extent of that sort of approach in retail, to Giselle's point. And there's certainly some who say it's quite unfair and irrational to keep gyms closed while you've got retail spaces open. But just firstly, the impact on the Virgin Group. I know you've furloughed a lot of your staff. You've frozen member account payments as well. What has the impact been on Virgin overall during the lockdown?
Well, I think it's, you know, severe. We're a business. That's how we make our money, essentially, from our memberships. And we've frozen memberships for four months now. But as a group, it's only South Africa out of the seven countries that we're in that remains closed. And to be honest, as Giselle correctly says, is what concerns me is why we are not talking a lot more about the benefits of exercise and why, you know, the gym industry is doing so much more than everybody else in terms of the protocols that we've put in place around, you know, everything from the distancing to sanitizing to contact tracing within areas, within the club, within the hour, and protocols which have been well received in all of our other markets is not kind of, you know, where we are in South Africa. But I think that, you know, realistically, if we talk about what's happened with COVID in South Africa, we went into lockdown very early and we're in the middle of the surge. And there's obviously a responsibility to say, is this the time to be opening gyms? And are we doing everything that we can? And I guess that's what we're being challenged on. And I believe that, you know, in some regards, I feel, well, often I run a lot and I feel like every other business I run past is open except for the gym businesses. And that I don't entirely understand, because if there's one business that should be open and we should be talking about, it should be the exercise industry, given that that is the one thing we factually know helps you build your immune system and keeps you healthy. So that is slightly confusing for me. But the other part about the way and the timing that it's happened is the timing of, you know, when it came to the time to open the gyms, we had then hit the surge. And that is very important for us to see and understand how we respond to that. As a business, we have massively taken the opportunity to keep people active and inspire them to be active through digital content. And we launched digital memberships to the public over the last 24 hours, because we understand and we know and people know how important exercise is. So we're finding other avenues to reach people and keep them active with our trainers, inspiring them to stay fit in other ways, working out outdoors and working out online. I can't emphasize enough, for somebody who represents an exercise brand, the importance of exercise during these, you know, when a virus like this or a pandemic is around. Like, this is the time. I'm frustrated sometimes that the level of conversation that alcohol and cigarettes gets when and why we're fighting about something that we're not sure if it affects you negatively or not. We have nothing to confirm that, yet we have absolute science and everything in our favor to confirm that exercise is beneficial to you. Coverage on exercise.
And we saw people take to the streets en masse when the hard lockdown was lifted, and we could then exercise in that little envelope between 6 and 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, everyone became a jogger. And I think a lot of the Garmin research as well shows that people are trying to exercise, but we are certainly curtailing their ability to do so. That, Nikki, just to stay with you for a second longer, how does one open responsibly in the middle of a surge like this? As you say, the timing was unfortunate because we locked down so early. How are you as a gym group thinking about opening, but opening responsibly?
I think we are really thinking about it. We've been thinking about it for 4 months. We are ready to go across our 137 clubs in terms of we've built an app that essentially you do your pre-screening before you come into the club, so we know your health. You are able to see the capacity in the club to understand, you know, how full the club is, so you can make a decision for yourself that actually this is, you know, not for me or is for me. I mean, I think that people want to know what risk is out there. And then within the clubs themselves, fortunately, Virgin Active has very large clubs, so we have been able to space all the equipment appropriately without compromising the experience, ensuring that there is a good amount of space between each person training. We've introduced training masks, which we have sourced ourselves and made ourselves so that you can continue to train with a mask on. We have 100% air circulation throughout the club every 9 minutes, which ensures the right amount of circulation of air within the clubs. We've done training of our PT staff, as well as all of the staff that instruct others around retraining and detraining. So lots of people have done no exercise for a period of time. Coming back in could put them at higher risk. So it's about how you reintroduce exercise into people's lives. Also those that have overtrained in a different environment during lockdown, how do you reintroduce them into that? And so we've thought through, I pretty much think, every angle and have prepared with the objective that we can do contact tracing down to the hour. We have our usual deep cleaning and sanitizing and hygiene throughout, in between, before and every after every class, wipe down of equipment, drop off weight zones. So we've really taken that customer experience and we've rewritten it. And we now have had the opportunity to showcase and prove our points across 7 different countries. It's really working and the members are responding very well. They're very happy with what Virgin Active has put in place. And I think it well exceeds any other industry in terms of what we are putting in place around those protocols. So
it certainly sounds comprehensive, Nikki. Boris, to bring you in here, you're the founder and MD of Bodytech South Africa, which is an EMS fitness studio. So that's electromuscle stimulation technology. And this crisis is almost suited to your business model because it's a one-on-one, a very unique type fitness business model. What impact has COVID had on Bodytech?
That's correct. First of all, we are only a max of 3 people in our studios. So you have one personal trainer training a max of 2 clients, and we only use one device. So we are not using any other additional equipment. So from a hygiene point of view, it's quite easy for us to clean everything after every session, and all the sessions are also on appointment. So we know every time who's in the studio or who's in which studio. So that's for us right now relatively easy, but still we are counted as a gym. Some of us opened up on a very small capacity and offering EMS rehabilitation because our devices we are using are also medical devices for EMS therapy and rehabilitation. So there's a small loophole to operate, but obviously not on full capacity. So right now all our gyms are running on about 30 to 40% capacity and slowly building up.
Emma Heap, to bring you in here, you've certainly pivoted, to use that overworked expression, during this time. You, the last time I spoke to you, were with 10X Investments. You're now based out of the UK. You've been building your own fitness app, and it's really phenomenal. I've been playing around with it, almost like the Netflix of fitness apps out there. Just firstly, tell me the rationale behind the development of this app and the impact that COVID must have had on this, because this seems to have accelerated its development.
Exactly, Michael, and lovely to be back speaking to you. So believe it or not, we started working on Studor about a year ago, so a long time before COVID-19 and before the pandemic this hit. And the main kind of rationale behind it was, if you look at the traditional fitness industry, it's very physical, it was traditionally very offline. You know, you had personal trainers selling hours, you had big gyms essentially selling space, and we saw that there was a little bit of, it was hard for any fitness business to scale, to truly scale and build, you know, a digital business. And so we wanted to give individual trainers the ability to do that, to be able to sell their workout content to a global audience, to be able to expand beyond the reach of their gym, their local area, or even the borders of their country. So fast forward to March this year, hit by a global pandemic. And what we've really seen with COVID is that it's actually accelerated changes that were already taking place. You know, digital fitness was already a thing. Peloton IPO'd last year for $8 billion. But in the last few months, really, we've seen sort of 30 years of change happen. Peloton, to use the same example, is now valued at $16 billion, so 100% growth in less than a year. And we've really seen, as you say, Garmin have seen an increase in activity data logged. People have become more active despite not being able to go into, you know, the traditional gyms, studios, or you know, have one-on-one personal trainers. we have to say, you know, we're a digital business, so, you know, it's great for us. We do believe, you know, we are building Sudor as the Netflix or the Spotify of fitness, in the same way that you open Netflix when you want to watch something, or you open Spotify when you want to listen to something, that Sudor becomes the destination that you go to when you want to work out. But we see that working, that workout as being, you know, wherever it's convenient for the customer. So whether it's offline or whether it's online, we want to be the partner that can support. So we really feel for physical partners and what they're going through. It's not nice. It's not a nice time to be a gym. It's not a nice time to be a studio or even a personal trainer. You mentioned, you know, the thousands of people that have been furloughed and been out of work for the last few months. And we've actually been partnering not only with trainers, which is how Sudor started, but also with gyms and studios to give a lot of them, you know, a lifeline through this time. So for us, digital is in our DNA. It's what we've built the platform on. It's where our experience lies. A lot of these traditional fitness businesses, digital is not their DNA. Some people like Virgin, you know, have been lucky enough to be led by someone like Nikki, who obviously has, you know, world-class experience in the digital space. Not every gym or studio has been able to have their own Nikki. And so that's where we kind of come in. We partner with them, we give them access to the platform, and we enable them to reach not only their pre-existing market, but actually be able to expand beyond their local area and beyond, you know, even South Africa.
And Jenny, to bring you in on that point, I mean, you're a very well-known fitness trainer. You've trained celebrities, Princess Diana, the late Princess Diana as well. And you've also been quick to adapt new technologies throughout your career, releasing DVDs, now embracing things like SudaFit as well, and Zoom. I've certainly, from a personal experience, found the fact that you can do Zoom yoga classes at home absolutely fantastic. And it's something we'll probably see when things return to normal become part of our everyday life, this using of digital platforms in our workouts. How has it changed the way you as a personal trainer have been able to deliver your services to market?
Hi, Michael. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here from the UK as a South African. And I think we all know the challenge to engage participants in exercise during COVID-19. As a personal trainer, I had gone on to one-on-one Skype training about 6 months pre-COVID, so I was sort of ahead of the wave. I never knew anything. And personally, for me, it's been great for my business, and my online Zoom classes are growing organically by the day, so that's wonderful. But as a personal trainer who's worked in gyms for many, many years, I am absolutely heartbroken for my contemporaries, for the gyms themselves. I've always supported gyms. I've loved them. I understand so many people need it for their mental health and just to be able to socially interact with others. They want to be in a class situation. And having trained in gyms and studios myself for many years, I understand that. So I think it's grossly unfair what's going on, as Nikki said, given that so many other businesses are able to open. So I'm very sad about that. I do think that there's going to be a great divide between people now that they have discovered online training and the things such as the Suda app, which I am part of as well. I think for many people, they don't want to go back to, they're not going to want to go back to a gym. Perhaps they felt intimidated and they are really enjoying the online training because it's time efficient. They can train when they like, with who they like, and they feel comfortable in their own home. So, that's where I'm at with all of this. I just don't think any of us know quite where it's all going.
Yeah, if anything, if that is the case, I think, and Giselle, back to your earlier point, I'm one of those who, when I was introduced to gym very late on in my life, discovered that there is a huge social element to this. So while you can do everything at home, and it's wonderful if you're busy to be able to whip open your iPad or your laptop and Zoom into a class, you miss that interaction. You miss going to the smoothie bar. You miss catching up with people that you see or sit next to on the watt bike. So it's almost like we're going to go into an omni-channel world from my vantage point. How do you see COVID fundamentally changing the health and fitness landscape from here?
It's such an interesting question, you know, Michael, because funny enough, we interviewed last week Oscar Smith, who's a celebrity trainer in New York, and I asked him this specific question because obviously New York was also very badly hit by the pandemic, and they were at very strict lockdown rules, and the gyms, even now, that you know, very circumspect. It's not like other states in the US where there has been some opening. In fact, people are training in very interesting types of situations. There have even been tents that are being built, sort of plastic tents that are being built in California where people can train in their own space. But it was really quite interesting talking to him and understanding how, you know, they're a little bit ahead of us, seeing what's happening. And what we are seeing is people are taking a lot of it outside. Obviously, they have a seasonal advantage there because the Northern Hemisphere is in summer. Some countries may have a lot more rain than others, but generally speaking, it's warmer. So we are seeing fitness moving outside. So people starting to look at other sports that they might not have tried before. Cycling, I think, is again having this great resurgence. People walking, running. I think we even saw that when we were allowed out in that second phase of the lockdown, we were allowed out in that little window. You know, we spoke about that deluge. I think what I don't think a lot of people were aware of generally is it wasn't just confined to people who had been going to gyms. I mean, I saw personally a lot of people in poorer communities getting out and walking that I had never seen before. So I think that that's been an amazing, you know, one of the very positive things about the awareness around COVID is this thing, let's get out. So I think we're going to see more outdoor gyms. I think we're going to see more outdoor sessions and perhaps gyms moving outdoor. And I think that may be a way of, again, within the regulation of how many people can be outdoor together, et cetera, et cetera. That could be something that could be considered as a viable option. South Africa, where winter, maybe not so. But I think we're going to see more of that. I think you are going to see a move to a hybrid. So Emma and Nikki and everyone is talking about this hybrid. And then I think you're going to see a lot more personalization where some people are going to feel more comfortable having a more personalized space, although in a social environment, but more personalized space. And I think there's probably work to be done on that. So how can we innovate? As I said, in California, for example, some very clever entrepreneurs have come up with this idea of creating spaces within gyms that are safe. So you can zip up and find your safety, but at the same time, be training. So I think we're going to see a combination. Personally, a lot of the trainers are saying they're not sick. People want, they want that physical interaction. They want the correction. We're seeing injuries happen at home or people who are overtraining or training without that interaction. I think there's certain real advantages in yoga, Pilates, any form of gym, any form of sport where you're working with an expert to having that ability. So I don't think we can change that. But obviously we are being taught that there are ways in which we can do this. So it is very interesting, and a lot of respect to all the companies who have to look and pivot in this time of how do they balance the retail space issues, the overhead issues, the trainer, even trainers, how they develop their own business models in this incredibly fast-changing and challenged world we live in.
Yeah, and as Jenny has shown, you can use it to great effect to grow your reach and to overcome traditional kind of physical barriers. Nikki, just in conclusion, and looking at the partnership that Virgin also has with Discovery through Vitality, that's obviously helped you weather some of the storm. But as an industry, putting your industry cap on here, how much longer can the South African gym industry withstand being shut down? Surely it is time now for the government and authorities to look at the long-term systemic and structural damage that's being done.
Absolutely. It is time. I don't think everybody's kind of mentioned it, the detrimental effect that it's having on smaller businesses is is happening really, really quickly. Every day I hear of more companies closing down, and that's heartbreaking. It really is, because these are livelihoods that are being lost. I think for those of us who are fortunately able to innovate and deliver on the hybrid model, there are, as you correctly said, people are omnichannel. They exist where they sometimes, based on convenience, want to train online, and other times through social need, want to train in community, and that will always exist. So there will always be facilities around for whatever your need is at that moment, considering the cost and convenience and your level of confidence, as somebody, as Giselle alluded to, you know, in how confident you are with training with other people, especially if it's a new yoga class or something complex. So it's giving, it really has, the reach has expanded in terms of exercise as a result of COVID, without a doubt. But how we capitalize on that opportunity and innovate is really coming down to the wire. And if you're not moving, and if you haven't moved as a business, unfortunately, if we do not open soon, it's going to be detrimental.
That is the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Nikki Cockcroft, thank you very much for sharing your insights into an industry that is in some respects showing great potential to innovate and to pivot, to use Giselle's earlier expression, but is also in many respects losing vitality on the back of this continued lockdown. That was Giselle Wertheim, AIM's founder of World of Longevity, Nikki Cockcroft, Global Chief Marketing and Technology Officer for Virgin Active Global, Boris Lek, founder and MD of Bodytech South Africa, Emma Heap, the director of UK-based Sudafit, and Jenny Rivett, international fitness and wellness consultant.